أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. We have entered into the holy month of Rajab al-Haram as you know that this is one of the holiest months in the Islamic calendar, and the month of Rajab, according to the authentic hadith of the Holy Prophet, is considered to be the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are several great occasions and events in this month. And the first night of the month of Rajab, which has already passed, was there is thawab to do the ihya of that night. And the first Thursday, which is today, is the night which is going to arrive, is, as you know, is the Laylatul Raghaib, as the angels call it. The Laylatul Raghaib means the night of hopes, and this is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us to give us this ni'mat and blessing to benefit from this open opportunities of sawab. So inshallah, tonight we are going to do the amal as well between the maghribain, the 12 rak'at prayers, and there are certain du'as which are also mustahab to be recited on every day of the month of Rajab. Inshallah, some of the du'as we will recite, and apart from that, as you know, if a person is fasting at the time of iftar, he has one da'watan mustajaba. One dua is mustajab for a person at the time of the iftar. But in the month of Rajab, we find, according to the hadith of the Holy Prophet, there are 10 du'as of the person which are mustajab. So this gives us the importance of the month of Rajab, and definitely it is the middle of the month is one of the most beloved nights in the Islamic calendar in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we have the amal of istiftah in that night. 27th of Rajab, as you know, is the mab'ath, the day of the ba'sat, where Prophet was officially assigned by Allah to start his propagation of Islam. And in this night of Laylat, which we call Laylatul Raghaib, the angels of Allah, all of them, the angels which are assigned on the heavens and those angels which are assigned on earth, all of them gather together at the Holy Kaaba and its surrounding, and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the person who is fasting. So obviously Allah says in his statement that I accepted your dua. So basically we learn that in Laylatul Raghaib is a night so which all the angels are together doing the dua for the forgiveness of those who are fasting. So you can understand that every fast in Islam is supposed to make us purified from the sins, but in the month of Rajab specifically, it is very, very important to remember the significance of fasting. And astaghfirullah wa as'aluhu tawbah. This is a dua that we are supposed to say, a short statement. As'alullah wa astaghfirullah wa as'aluhu tawbah. I ask, I seek forgiveness of Allah and ask for him, ask for the tawbah from him. This is a very short dua that we are supposed to read as much as we can in the month of Rajab. It is very good. And also another dua which is narrated by Shaykh Saduq rahmatullah alayh is astaghfirullah dhal jalali wal ikram min jami' al-zunub wal asam. And this is something that we should try to read 1,000 times in the month of Rajab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about somebody who reads this dua 1,000 times that if I don't forgive him, I'm not his Lord. So basically a person is confirmed to be forgiven. This is what we learn in the light of the hadith, that a person is confirmed to be forgiven if we pray to Allah 1,000 times with this dua, astaghfirullah zal jalali wal ikram min jami' al-zunub wal asam. Now this was a little bit about the month of Rajab and its importance, and inshallah, like I said, we will do that salat and some of the du'as. The subject which I wanted to mention tonight in this lecture was about the concept of i'tizar in Islam. Al-i'tizar wal-malama means furnishing the excuse and condemning the person over the wrong. So basically this is another Islamic value in our great moral values, that whenever somebody furnishes an excuse in front of you for a mistake or a wrong that he has done, Islamic value system says that we should accept the excuse. Well, definitely this is going to increase in your status in the eyes of Allah, and it increase in your izzat and sharaf in the society as well. And a person who furnishes an excuse to you for a mistake that he has done against you, if you accept the excuse, this is how you will be elevated, isn't it right? On the contrary, if you don't accept the excuse, what can possibly happen, that you can convert the wrong that a person has done. You are allowing the person to stay in the opposition bench against you, alaykum salam, in the opposition, and that mistake can convert into hiqd, into kina, and enmity in the heart, and baghdha and adawa, and animosity in the heart against you On the contrary, if we are not ready to abide by this great value of Islam. So it is important to keep in our mind that Islam is asking us to accept the uzr of the people on if they make a mistake. And we have the hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam, where he says that al-iqraru i'tizar. If a person accepts his fault, he is accepting his mistake. He is bringing an excuse in front of you, an uzr, and basically this is enough for a person to take that when he's accepting his mistake, he's realizing his wrong, isn't it right? So this is how he is putting his excuse in front of you. Well, inkaru israr, and if a person denies the mistake, then this is insisting, that means insisting on the wrong. And then Amir Nabi alayhi salam says, Rubba jurmin aghna anil i'tizari anhu al iqrar. So there are so many crimes that, iqrar, there are so many crimes which are such that iqrar and confession of the crime, makes a person, it suffices for him from furnishing any further excuse about it. So this is what we learn, and in another hadith from Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, he says that la tu'amil al-zamba bil-uquba waj'al baynahuma lil-i'tizar tariqa. That means do not interact with the sin. When a sin takes place, a wrong is done, don't jump into punishing it, basically. This is what we learn in the light of the hadith. Don't deal with the sin in a way that you are there to punish it. And make a space. Make a space. Put a gap. وَجْعَلْ بَيْنَهُمَا. Put a gap between the sin and the punishment. Put a gap for a person to come forward and at least give his excuse to you. We should do that kind of gap, in other words. So this is how our imams have been teaching us to make our life in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, life with which Allah is radi and pleased. And it has been emphasized in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam to accept the uzr. If a person furnishes some uzr in front of you, some excuse for the wrong, accept it. اقبل عذر أخيك وإن لم يكن له عذر فالتمس له عذرا. So Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says that accept the excuse of a person, and if he doesn't have an excuse, then you make up an excuse for him. Isn't it right? And our deen has been teaching us to have 70 ta'weelat. If you see something wrong taking place, which zahiran apparently appears to be wrong, a mu'min is supposed to do 70 ta'weelat, tawjihat for that wrong. What is this for? If we are here to just punish the mistake as soon as it comes into our notice, then why are Ahlul Bayt teaching us to do that? Isn't it right? So there is a room for a mu'min to always to elevate our akhlaq. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Bu'istu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq." I have been commanded, I have been sent. That means Allah has sent the Holy Prophet to take the exalted morals and character to the highest level, to its perfection, and tatmeen, that means taking it to the perfection level. Prophet has been sent to take the great moral value system of Islam to its the highest level of perfection. Nothing higher is imaginable. What Rasulullah did and behaved is the highest possible akhlaq. And likewise, what Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam did in their life was the highest possible akhlaq. You cannot imagine higher than that to happen from a human. If they were a room higher than that, they would have definitely done it. Isn't that right? So we find when somebody said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, can you count the moral sifat and attributes of Rasulullah? Imam Ali alayhi salam said no. He said, why cannot you count? Imam Ali alayhi salam said to him, can you count the ni'mat of Allah? He said no. So Imam Ali, that means that the blessings that Allah has given in the life of this dunya, the blessings which we have in the life of this dunya. So he said, no, I cannot count. Imam Ali alayhi salam recited this ayat of Quran where Allah says, mata'u dunya qaleel. So Imam Ali alayhi salam said to him, what Allah calls qaleel, you cannot count. And you are asking me to count what Allah calls azim. Because when it comes to the akhlaq of the Holy Prophet, Allah has said in the Holy Quran, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. So basically, when you cannot count what Allah calls to be qaleel, how can you expect Imam Ali salam to count something which Allah calls to be azim? The akhlaq of Rasulullah is azim, isn't it right? So it's impossible for a person to count the greatness of the akhlaq of Prophet or the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. This is most iconic. Every aspect of their personality is kamil and akmal, the most perfect. But the most significant thing that attracts the attention of any person who comes and talks and interacts with Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, the most significant of their aspect, every aspect is the most significant. But still, the most attractive thing is their akhlaq. Everyone remembers the way the akhlaq of Ahlul Bayt and the akhlaq of Rasulullah was. So we find Imam Ali alayhi salam is asking us, وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ عُذْرٌ فَلْتَمِسْ لَهُ عُذْرًا. For our mu'min brother, if he doesn't have an excuse for you, you make up an excuse for him. This is how we are supposed to behave. And another hadith from Imam Zain al-Abidin, Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sajjad alayhim as-salatu was-salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He says, look at this hadith please, as we are discussing the concept of furnishing uzr and excuses over the mistakes. Imam alayhi salam says, la ya'tazaru ilayka ahadun illa qabilta uzrahu. No one brings excuse to you except that you accept his uzr. That means whenever some person brings excuse to you, you should accept that person's uzr. وَإِنْ عَلِمْتَ أَنَّهُ كَاذِبٌ. Although you know that he is lying. See, this is the azimat of a person. This is how you are. Basically, this is not in the hadith, I'm explaining to you. When you accept the uzr of the person, this is how you are basically making him under your ihsan and favor. When you are accepting his uzr, he is going to be now under your man and ihsan. Isn't that good? That when we live in a society, a person stops animosity against you and spreading things against you, and he becomes under your man and ihsan. This is good, isn't it right? I mean, we are not doing for that reason. We a mu'min does everything qurbatan illah, for the sake of Allah anyways. And another hadith from our fourth Imam alayhi salam says, in shatamaka rajulun an yameenika thumma tahawwala ila yasarika wa'tawara ilayka faqbal uzrahu. If a person says abusive language to you, shatam, bad word to you on your right, and then he comes towards your left hand side and says his excuse to you, uzr, faqbal uzrahu, accept his uzr. That means just a little gap. How much time it takes for a person to come from the right hand side to the left hand side of a person? Couple of seconds. Even after a couple of seconds, a mu'min is supposed to, for from his fellow mu'min brother, we are supposed to accept the uzr. And so also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, obviously they on the zalimeen there on the day of judgment, when the day of judgment arrives, that's where everything ends. Our tawbah is not accepted, isn't it right? This is not in the ayat of Quran, but I'm telling you that the tawbah is not accepted, and the ma'zarat concept, furnishing the excuses, is no longer accepted on the day of judgment. This is about the life of this dunya. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Surah Ghafir, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ الظَّالِمِينَ مَعْذِرَتُهُمْ. That means that day when the ma'zarat of zalimeen is not going to benefit them. وَلَهُمُ اللَّعْنَةُ وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ. And for them is the curse, and for them is the bad place, in other words. So basically, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونِي لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا. This is what the zalimeen are going to say. On the day of judgment, when what happens is that, well, day of judgment, when we are talking about Yawm al-Qiyamah, day of judgment starts with the death. First of all, it should be clear. إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. When a person dies, his qiyamah has started. So when we are talking about Day of Judgment, what we mean is the mawqifun awwal, I mean the 50 mawqif and stations of Qiyamah. Inshallah, if Allah gives us the tawfiq, we can sometime, inshallah, talk about the 50 mawqif of Qiyamah, the 50 stations where each one will be stopped and ask those questions. The first of those 50 stations of Qiyamah is death. So when the death comes, a person enters into his Qiyamah. His Qiyamah has already started. Obviously, that day of judgment when the Sur of Israfil will be blown and everybody will be resurrected, that's going to happen very long. We don't even know when is the Zuhur of the Imam, isn't it right? Maybe tomorrow, maybe after 1,000 years, maybe later, maybe sooner. But then there are governments of Ahlul Bayt, government of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam first, and then second person appearing. To establish the government is Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, isn't it right? And the hadith says his eyebrows will fall over his ears. Hadith does not mention the muddat and duration of the hukumat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. The hadith says that his eyebrows will fall over his eyes. So this is what we learn in a lot of hadith. So basically he has eyebrows, the hair, you know, is the one of the slowest hairs in the body of the human that grow are the hair of the eyebrows. So you can understand how long is the duration of the government of Imam Hussain, we don't even know. And then is the governments of the rest of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So Qiyamah is very far. We really don't know when the Qiyamah is going to happen. Isn't it right? That's very far from today. But obviously for a person who dies, he sees the haqq and he sees the death and his qiyamah has started. The hadith says, "Iza mat ibn Adam, qamat qiyamatuhu." When a person, son of Adam, dies, his qiyamah basically rise up or started, in other words. So basically what we are supposed to do is that at the time of death, the zalimeen are going to say like this, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونِي, oh my Lord, return me back. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا, maybe I can do saleh, I can do good deeds, in other words. So a zalim person at the time of death says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, return me back to the dunya so I can start doing salihat and good deeds. And he does not say it once, he says it over and over again. Over and over again. How do we know over and over again? Because the ayat of Quran, my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah in his tafsir, he had said that this sigha in Arabic, Rabbirji'uni, irji'uni, is plural. In Arabic, you never use the plural tense for the mukhatab, which is one. We never do that in Arabic. I'm talking about the rules of the Arabic language and the Fusha language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Isn't it right? You never in Arabic language, you never use a plural tense for a mukhatab who is one. Now you can say, we say assalamu alaikum, which is also plural, instead of assalamu alayka, we say assalamu alaikum. Kum is this for plural, isn't it right? But this is istilah of whatever mufassirin say, this is istilah al mutaakhirin. This is the later generation started to say that. It was never ever a tradition of the original Arabic. We are talking about the original Arabic. Even if you address Rasulullah, who's more respectable than Rasulullah? No one. Even when we are saying salam to Rasulullah in his ziyarat, we say assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. We don't say assalamu alaykum ya Rasulullah. Isn't it right? If you are saying salam to Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam, you don't say assalamu alaykum ya Amir al-Mumineen. No, you don't find that in the ziyarat. The ziyarat says assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mumineen, or whatever other laqab is there. Assalamu alayki ya Fatimah al-Zahra. You don't say assalamu alaykunna. You don't use the plural tense for the feminine. You are addressing one person. You say assalamu alayki. You know right? Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. You don't say assalamu alaykum ya Aba Abdullah. It's never there in the original Arabic. This is the tradition that the later generation started to say. It's not part of the original Arabic. So my teacher says that this ayat of Quran where Allah says that Rabb qala Rabbir ji'uni. Irji'uni is a plural tense. And the person is addressing to Allah. Allah is one. You never use the plural tense for the one mukhatab. So the reason my teacher says this plural tense is mentioned here is the fact that the person is repeating over and over again, repeating and in his demand towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the time of death arrives, a zalim person repeats his demand to Allah, return me back. La'alli a'malu salihan. Maybe I can do the good deed. Everybody realizes in the time of death that what kind of mistake, and I wasted my life, and what kind of mistake I did. And dunya fooled me. Isn't that right? Dunya deceived me. Every person realizes that. Every zalim realizes that. So, we find that the uzr of no one is accepted. The hadith says, شَهْرُ الْمَعْذَرَةِ حِينَ يَحْضُرُ الْمَوْتِ. The worst of the excuse is when the death, arrives, happens. Hudur, the time of the arrival of the death. This is not going to benefit, basically. What is going to benefit is the ma'azarat we do before that. So, another verse from Holy Quran says, وَلَا يُؤْذَنُ لَهُمْ فَيَعْتَذِرُونَ. They are not given the permission so they can do the ma'azarat. In other words, the people will not be even allowed to, they will not be allowed from Allah to, Allah is not going to allow them to do the ma'azarat. On the Day of Judgment, everything ends. There's no room for any further ma'azarat. Now, there's one incidence where the value system of Ahlul Bayt says to us, don't apologize to anyone. Where does the value system of Ahlul Bayt ask us not to apologize? Okay, let's turn to that instance. Imam Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, La ta'tazir min amrin ata'at Allah subhanahu fihi. فَكَفَى بِذَلِكَ فَكَفَى بِذَلِكَ I cannot read that word, so I will not mention. So Imam Ali Rasulullah says that don't seek the forgiveness, in other words, furnishing your uzr on the amr that you obeyed Allah. You did something which Allah asked you to do. If you did something that Allah asked you to do and somebody feels bad about that, don't apologize on that. Right? We never do the apology on something which Allah commanded. If I do ita'at of the amr of Allah, somebody feels bad, I'm not going to do the apology over that, because I did not do a wrong. Emir Muhyiddin Islam says, "Man i'tazara min ghayr zambin, awjaba ala nafsihi zamb." Whoever apologizes without a mistake, he is forcing a mistake upon himself. In other words, so you are basically indulging yourself and allowing yourself to be subjected to a mistake if you start apologizing without a mistake. We don't do the useless things. This is a useless activity. Also, another hadith says that salasatun la yu'zaru al-mar'u fiha musharatu nasih wa mudaratu hasid wa tahabbub ila an-nas. In three things there is no excuse. That means in all cases we continue to do these three things, taking advice from a person who is giving nasihat. So we never shut the door of nasihat. If somebody is advising you, always be ready to take the advice. Wa mudarat hasid, that means doing nice behavior to the hasid person, continue to interact with him. Wa tahabbub ila an-nas, and behaving lovingly towards the people. So also there are three categories of people which are mentioned in the hadith, that for those three categories of people there is no excuse. That means nobody can say, well, it is istisna and exempt. Salasatun la uzra li ahadin fiha. For three things there is no uzr, there is no excuse for anyone about those three things. What are those three things? That means you have to do it at every cost. First, ada'ul amanati ila al-barri wal-fajr. Giving the amanat back, whether to a bar means a nikukar, good doing person, or a fajr, a person who commits the haram, evil doing person. Amanat is amanat. If you accepted it, you are mu'taman. A mu'taman is supposed to be ameen. Every mu'taman is supposed to be ameen. He must take care of the entrusted trust. If you don't want to take care, don't accept it. You are free not to accept. Al-mas'ulu hurrun hatta ya'ida. Hadith says, a person who is asked, he is free until he promises. You don't want to accept it, don't accept it. Once you accept the amanat, now you are liable to take care of it. فَلْيُؤَدِّ الَّذِي اُؤْتُمِنَ أَمَانَتَهُ. Isn't it right? Quran says. So we need to take care of the amanat now. Amanat, there is no difference. The hadith of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, لَوْ أَنَّ قَاتِلَ أَبِي. Even if the killer of my father, اِعْتَمَنَنِي. He put the sword with which he killed my father as amanat to me, I will return it back. So this is about amanat. There is no excuse. Nobody says, he's a fasik person, so what? He's a kafir. It doesn't matter. The killer of Ramazan is also kuffar. Ashqiya in Karbala, all of them are kuffar. But Umayya, what are they? The enemies of Imam Ali alayhi salam, all of them are kuffar. Isn't it right? People of Ashab of Sufin, they're all kafirs. None of them are Muslims. We don't consider the people who fought against Imam Ali al-Islam to be Muslim. So whoever is muharib against Imam Ali al-Islam is a kafir. So basically, it is true to keep in mind that Imam Sajjad al-Islam says, this as-saif alladhi qatalahu, that sword with which he killed. So he's talking about the past. Isn't it right? So Imam is not saying in the scenario when Shimr comes and gives the sword before killing Imam Hussein alayhi salam. If you know that a kafir is going to take something, some silah, some tool, and he's going to use it to kill a mu'min person, it's not jaiz in that case to give it back to the kafir, because then you would be doing ta'awun on the ism and udwan. La ta'awunu ala al-ism wal udwan. We are not here to participate in the haram of the people. So that would be himaqat. Islam is not the deen, is not a deen of himaqat. Is the deen of kiyasat and fitanat. Al-mu'minu kayyisun fatin, how Imam Ali Islam says. So he is not talking about the time when Shimr comes before killing. If you know that he's going to kill, you're not going to return the sword back to him. That's not even allowed in Islam. Imam used the past tense, the sword with which he already killed, and then he brings it as an amanat. Imam is going to return this back. So in amanat, obviously there is no exception in this matter. So ada'ul amanate ilal barre wal fajr, and wal wafa'u bil ahad lil barre wal fajr. The second thing where there is no exception, it's an all-inclusive universal principle, is that al-wafa'u bil-ahad, fulfilling your ahad and covenant, ilal-barr wal-fajr, whether towards the good person or a fajr person. وَبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ بَرَّيْنِ كَانَ أَوْ فَاجِرَيْنِ. بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ means doing good behavior towards the parents. Barrayne kana or fajrayne, whether the parents are good doers or fajr, evil doers, in all the cases you are still supposed to do good behavior towards your parents. There is no istisna. Your parents, even if your father is a kafir, even if your mother is a kafir, it's still wajib in Islam to do ihsan and good behavior towards your father and mother. There is no exception. So salasatun la uzra li ahadin fiha. So obviously in the genuine place we are always ready to accept the uzr. A'adham al-wizr man u qabool al-uzr. The biggest, greatest of the burdens is not to accept the uzr. Although as a mu'min, our religion teaches us not to do things that causes you to do i'tizar and apology towards the people. You know, like in Farsi they say, Chirakari kunat aqil ke bazayat pashimani. Why do we do, to begin with, why do we do a thing that brings you nadama at the end? Isn't it right? This is not how the aqil behaves. So we have abundant hadith on that subject. So this hadith from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam says, Iyaka wa ma yu'tazar minhu. I mean, keep away from what you have to apologize from. That means don't do something that you will end up apologizing after that. This is how a mu'min is supposed to do, in other words. فَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لَا يُسِئُ وَلَا يَعْتَذِرْ. Because a mu'min does not do bad and doesn't do the apology. You don't do the bad, so you don't need to do the apology. Isn't that right? So, وَالْمُنَافِقَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ يُسِئُ وَيَعْتَذِرْ. And it's a munafiq, every day he does bad and he apologizes. So this is a sirat of a munafiq person, to keep on doing the wrongs and bad behaviors and then keep on, you know, apologizing. This is not how a mu'min operates. La yambahi, another hadith says, La yambahi lil mu'mine an yuzilla nafsahu. Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, it's not appropriate for a mu'min to insult himself. And the Rabi said to the Imam, what is the meaning of insulting himself? Kultu bima yuzilla nafsahu. How can he insult himself? Imam Alaihi Wasallam says, La yadkhulu fima yu'tazar minhu. He doesn't enter into something which, you know, asks him to apologize for that, in other words. So we don't do things that will, it causes us to apologize. This is how a person is supposed to be, you know, at least for every good attribute, there's a higher thing there. You know, you it is good to apologize after a mistake, but higher than that is to reach a level of ruhaniyat where we avoid doing those mistakes that causes the forces us to apologize after that. So, and before I come to the end of my speech, this is the hadith from Amirul Mu'mini alayhi salam, where he says, "La tukfiran al-itaba, fa innahu yurisu al-dhaghina wa yad'u ila al-baghda." See, there are people who are making mistakes in the society. Now, we are not supposed to condemn a lot. If you start condemning people on their mistakes a lot, what happens is that this is obviously not a healthy situation. And the hadith says, don't do the itab, means holding person accountable and punishing him a lot. Don't do that, because this causes baghina, means hatred in the heart. A person will convert your enemy and he will start hating you. And وَيَدْعُوا إِلَى الْبَغْضَاءِ, and it invites the person to towards enmity. That means he will end up becoming your enemy. So in Islamic morality, the summary of what we discussed tonight is that, first of all, when we make mistakes, we always apologize. Second of all, if somebody apologizes, a mu'min brother apologizes, we are always ready to accept their mistakes. Third of all, for certain categories of people, the apology is never accepted, which is at the time of death, isn't it right? And on the day of judgment, no apology is accepted at that time, so that muhlat is in the lifetime of this dunya. Fourth of all, three categories of people that I mentioned, there is no exception. We have always supposed to do those three things, you know, for those three people. And last of all is that we should try to elevate our ruhaniyat to a higher level, where we reach a state that we, you know, don't do the mistakes, so we end up apologizing after that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to reach those high levels of ma'naviyat in Islam. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين وسيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.